This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Senator Dean Smith. We're joined in the studio at the magnificent Victorian Pride Centre. Nevena Sporoska from the Victorian Pride Lobby and Matt Wade hiding in the corner behind his mask, but that's all right. Good morning, Nevena. How are you?
It's lovely to there be here go. This morning with you, Macca, and go. I come bearing gifts. A certain woman and her father made some backyard wine, and we thought it might be nice to christen the Pride Centre with at a time where it's appropriate.
Blindside Organic Chilled Red 2020. Certified organic. That means I won't get a hangover, doesn't it?
Doesn't sound like West Australian wine to me.
No, it's very much Victorian. Sorry,
you.
Dean.
Thank you. So, Nevena, one of the things we want to talk about today is the campaign that the Pride Lobby ran. And I was telling Dean about this before the Victorian Council elections, and basically you asked every council candidate a number of questions around support and, I suppose, challenges for our community. And a number of, a huge number of those candidates responded. I thought it was 80% or more, is that correct?
Nearly. So nearly? Okay. We had about 2,000 people running for local council, and that was across the state.
Yep.
Of those, we had 900 sign our rainbow pledge.
Right.
And if you think about the demands on time, how many people are asking you to sign them? The way we bombarded the candidates was to not only to get in their inboxes, but to get on the phone to make sure that we got this rainbow pledge in front of their eyes, because we knew that was the point of accountability. If we could get them to sign the pledge,
yes,
then for the next 4 years, we had a reason to maintain that relationship and also to bother them when need be.
And a number of councils, as a result of that, are actually, in terms of the Rainbow Pledge, there are committees formed, there are groups that have coalesced to implement some of these items in the pledge, isn't there?
There's been over 20 councils across the state that have implemented some or all of these pledges. And we're not just talking about, the councils that might be a bit easier to fly the rainbow flag. We're talking about councils in rural Victoria, which for the first time are doing things like establishing an advisory committee, or for the first time ever, like in Ballarat, flying the trans flag.
Yes.
That's monumental.
It is.
And it's taken this campaign to be able to do it.
I was interested, hearing from Macca earlier today about, the success of the program. It's something that I've been totally ignorant of before hearing from Macca and knowing that you're coming on the show. So, when you think about stage two, stage three, future stages, is this the sort of idea that you think that West Australians might, see coming up in sort of future local council elections, Tasmanians, Queenslanders? Is it the sort of thing that you think might be picked up in other states and territories?
We would love for this to be exported across all levels of government because, as we touched on earlier in the show, we need that representation. In Victoria, we currently have some of the lowest numbers of LGBTIQ people in Parliament. Lower than 2%.
They can be quite loud, though.
Loud and proud, Macca.
So just on that, the Australian Local Government Association had its national conference in Canberra when we were meeting. Probably wouldn't be about six to eight weeks ago now. And I do know that some of the LGBTIQ local government councillors that were attending the national conference, did make themselves known to federal parliamentarians and opened up a conversation, about how federal parliamentarians from our community can better support local candidates and local councillors. So we might be seeing sort of a coalescing of sort of like-minded at the various levels of government, whether it be local, state or federal.
Absolutely. And support plays such an important role in people putting up their hand to run, whether it's at a local government level, state or federal, and having that representation and having people who've run that path before makes it easier for the next person and the next person and the next person until it's not an issue, until it's just the way it is.
I think, and we're speaking with, I know you were Warren Inch's comments, and, you know, Dean has given a commitment this morning around religious freedoms legislation potentially, which I know he'll repeat for us in a moment. Do you think, you know, in terms of the lobby, there's obviously, again, I think there's a huge opportunity here when that legislation or the draft sees the light of day to again repeat that procedure of contacting individual parliamentarians and asking where they stand. Is that's on the agenda?
We've been supporting Equality Australia, who've been leading this campaign.
They've been leading that, yeah.
And we look forward to working with them throughout it. But it's certainly a role that the lobby can play. We are a small but mighty organisation, Victorian-based, and it's perhaps something that we can pose to our Victorian parliamentarians to see where they stand on this very important bill.
Mm. Did you want to repeat it, Dean?
What's that, Maka?
Your statement about the bill.
Oh, right. No, I support a religious freedom bill, narrowly cast, one that doesn't wind back existing anti-discrimination laws in our country. I hope that we can reach a strong bipartisan position, not universally in the parliament, but enough to see the passage of this, and importantly, do no harm. Do no harm to people that have religious views and do no harm to people that don't have religious views. And importantly, do no harm to people of our community who might have religious views as well.
I think that's a view that can be supported.
Just following up on the pledge, politicians, and this is in response to a message we've had, you know, some politicians are better at others than maintaining their promises and keeping their pledges. What's the penalty? What's the accountability mechanism if someone doesn't fulfil their pledge? Gentle, or sort of carrot and stick? How do we get them to the final outcome without perhaps, you know, unnecessarily punishing them too early if in their best endeavours they just don't get the outcome that you're looking for?
That's a great question, Dean. And so far we've only had one council. One council that has temporarily broken their pledge, and we're currently sitting in that council's home. And so what that process looked like was firstly making it public. Mm-hmm. So we spoke to our friends at Joy and others who broadcast the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Second was supporting residents and businesses alike as to why it was important that Port Phillip should support the Rainbow Pledge and implement the measures that we put forward. And then secondly was some good old-fashioned lobbying. So that's when your emails, a little bit of arm twisting came in through, and we're very pleased to say that that combined community effort meant that Port Phillip turned rainbow.
So what I hear in that is that if there's a council that doesn't feel like it might be able to reach the detail of the pledge, they shouldn't necessarily feel that they will be punished for having a go but failing. They might in actual fact be supported through the process to reach that ultimate outcome.
That's exactly right, and that's the role the lobby has played, supporting councils, especially those that don't have those resources, that don't have a inclusivity and diversity officer, that don't have volunteers ready to go to help with this work. That's where we come in. We have measures ready to go and support is there to turn local government rainbow.
And yeah, it's important work, Dean, because the situation with the City of Port Phillip, a number of councillors were elected after signing the Rainbow Pledge, and then when they elected, all of a sudden their view changed. There was some pretty strong lobbying, some robust emails, a lot of discussion on Joy. And to their credit, they saw that honouring a pledge was more important than a partisan political interest. And that they were elected by all members of the community who actually knew that they'd signed the Rainbow Pledge. It wasn't just us. And, you know, to their credit, yes, they've changed their position, and I acknowledge that. I would have much preferred that they hadn't actually taken the position they did. But anyway, we all live and learn.
Well, I think if we look at events over the last few years, you know, a couple of things stand out to me. Dialogue is important and critical and always gets better outcomes. Secondly, not everything has to be political. And thirdly, our community needs to speak as far as possible with one voice, because there are lots of detractors. There are lots of detractors, and other people are speaking with one voice. So we need to put our best foot forward. So dialogue, not everything needs to be political, but speaking with one voice sounds like a great idea.
There you go.
Bring it to the West.
So there you go. There's an opportunity for your colleagues in the West to work with Dean to get a similar program in WA. I think you'd find a very receptive audience there.
We'd be happy to go West. As
there you go. Go West. Actually, it's a song, isn't it?
Yeah, but without 2 weeks quarantine. So we might just be patient.
If you could help us with that, Dean, thank you.
And just so people know, the acting premier of WA is an out and proud gay man.
Well, I saw this on the message thing and I thought, oh dear, my popular gay culture in the West isn't as strong as it should be.
Oh,
so rather than embarrassing myself or anyone else, I might just pass.
You'll pass. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Nevena. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming into our magnificent new studio. The bottle of Terps will go down very well. Thank you. You know, you're welcome to hang around in outside there, because after 11 o'clock news, Dean and I are going to be speaking with Grace Tame.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in, and thank you, Matt.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.